to the Kohanim from the Levim and what was behind it. And now, just to understand a little better the whole Kriyas HaYarden, it's very, very interesting. The Kriyas HaYarden going into Eretz Yisrael was in certain ways very similar to Kriyas Yamsuf. Mamish walls of water, and the Gemara and Saita goes by Riches, all the Nisim that happened on the Yam, on the Yarden. So there's a lot of similarities, but there's a stark difference in the way it happened. Meaning the Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the Teyot HaLayam, and that was Kriyas Yamsuf. Here was done Dafka with the Kohanim. The Kohanim went into the Yarden, and as soon as the Kohanim went into the Yarden, so the water split, the water basically split open, and then the Kohanim stayed in the Yarden until the last of Klal Yisrael crossed, and that's how this prayer goes, Vayhi kasher tamu kol hagoy lavaras hayarden. And then finally the Kohanim left, and when the Kohanim left, then the water went back. As I zok the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Vayavu b'nei goru b'nei ruvein, v'akohanim lo yisei oren oimdim b'sei chayardin, ad toim kol ador ha-shutziva Hashem as Yeshua. And then, Vayhi kashotam kolom la'avor, Vayavor aroin ha-shem v'akoinim ufnei ha'om. And then, that was the end. So somehow the Kriyas Yarden wasn't really done with like a moifis like Kriyas Yamsuf, Yeshua Benun, hitting the Yam. It was done through this way of the Kohanim going into the Yarden with the Oren, and then it stayed that way until the Kohanim left. So what's the lekach of this? And as we go through Sefer Yeshua, we're going to see several times where there are repeats of Chamisha Chumshei Torah, because Sefer Yeshua is connected to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Some parashas are almost duplicate, like Ori Miklot, we'll see. But there's always a deviation. There's something that's a little different. So here we see that this Maisa, Bekir Sayarden, was very different than Kriyas Yamsuf, the way it happened. The question is, what's behind it? Another thing we see here, that Hashem tells Yeshua ben Nun, Vayom Hashem al Yeshua, and he tells them to take the stones from the Yarden, Sulochem Yitrecha Yarden, Shteim Esrei Avonim. Altogether it was 36 stones based on the Gemara, 12 of Moshe Rabbeinu before, 12 in the Yarden, and 12 afterwards. 36 stones. And take those stones that was in the Yarden by Ragli HaKohanim, and you should bring it into Eretz Yisrael. What's the holiness of those stones? What's so special about those stones? So, I'll tell you a poshut idea. Mamish a poshut idea. In the Klei HaMishkan, we find that there was only one keli that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't make. Not only couldn't make it, he couldn't even understand it. Niskasha Moshe Bitzuras. And that's the menorah. So if you look at Chazal, there was a two-step process. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know what it looks like. It says, Niskasha Moshe Bitzurasa. That means literally he couldn't understand the shape, the carving of the menorah. Atcha Herolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menorah Shalesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a picture of the menorah. And then he still couldn't make it. Still couldn't make it. So Moshe Rabbeinu took a gold, a kikar zav, he threw it into the fire, and the menorah came out. So basically, two open nisim happened with the menorah, right? Heavenly intervention from all the klei hamishkan. Two heavenly interventions by the menorah. One was Pashit learning what the menorah looks like, and then step two was the actual creation of the menorah, which you have to know if the Rabbanu Shel Olam Moshe won't know how to make it anyway, and ultimately he's going to just take a gold block, put it in the fire, and the menorah is going to come out. So why do you have to go through the process of showing him a menorah shows up? Anybody remembers that part? From last year, we asked this kasha. Nobody remembers. Why did the Baruch Hashem have to show Moshe Menorah Shel Zov, Menorah Shel Eish, if anyway Moshe wasn't going to make it anyway? He just took the block and he threw it in and the menorah came out. Do you remember the kasha? No? No? Menachem Mendel. You don't remember the kasha? We asked this kasha last year. You look like you have something cooking there. No? You remember the kasha? Oh, so we have a remember the kasha guy. So the mahalach that I gave then, this is just a halachatik mahalach. I based it on a Pnei Yeshua and Kira. Now you remember? Pnei Yeshua asks, why, how are you chayy for bishul on Shabbos? L'chor, it's a grama. You take the food. The maisha that you're doing is not a bishul. It's not like the other malachas. You cut, you knead. You put on the fire. If somebody would take the food now off the fire, you'd be potter. And then by itself, the fire cooks the food. So why is it not like a gomer? So the Pnei Yeshua says, since the Ribbono Shel Olam put into the bria, that when you put a piece of meat on the fire, it cooks, the actual act of putting the piece of meat on the fire is called Yom Ma'aseh. Even though it's Ma'aseh Shemayim that it cooks, it's not a gromer. Because that the Ribbono Shel Olam put into the bria that's the metzias, that's not called a groma. So the etzem, Moshe Rabbeinu's making of the menorah, l'chor, you have a problem. There was a chiyuv to build the Mishkan. Every single last keli had to be built. So how was Moshe Makayim the mitzvah of making the menorah? He didn't make it, it just came out of the fire. How was he yotze the mitzvah? Now you remember, right? How was he yotze the mitzvah? He didn't make the menorah. He put the gold in the fire and the menorah came out. The teretz is, if the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you that if you take this block of gold and you throw it in, a menorah is coming out, that's called making it. Right now, that's making it. Just like Pnei Yeshua says by Bishul. If the Ribbono Shel Olam says by putting in the gold, the menorah is going to come out, that's a maisa making the menorah. But we know by Shabbos, there's a thing called Melechas Machsheves. Unless you know what you're creating, it's not a malacha. So first, Moshe had to know what the Tzuras HaMenorah is. If he wouldn't have known what the menorah looks like, it wouldn't be called that he created it. Now, once Moshe was shown the Tzuras HaMenorah, now the Baruch Shem Ketam, okay, take this, throw it in, and that is going to come out. That thing that you know is going to come out. That's the Yesod. That's the Yesod. Now the Olam remembers. Now you remember. Itka Le Mitka. Okay. Anyway, but the question I had was, why did the Eibishter make that only the menorah needed all this intervention? Why? Why did the menorah need all this intervention? So pshat you could say is like this. We know that Histakel Bereisu Bara Alma. We know that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Pasha, to fit the Torah perfectly. The Torah writes in the beginning of Evan Ezra. This is a Torah. It's not like a Musa Sefer. It's a Torah. The Torah writes in the Hakdomah to Evan Ezra that why did Hashem create a man and a woman as one guf and then he split them? Why did he create two? Created one, then he splits it. Why did he do that for? So this is what the Torah writes. Listen to this. The Torah says, the Eibishter was planning to give us a Torah. And the Torah is going to paskin chayiv adam l'chabed es ishtoi yoyser migufoi, like the Gemara says in Yevamos, oyavor kegufoi. So you're going to have to mamish feel to your wife like you feel to yourself. So the Eibishter memela created in the bria that your wife is a piece of you to facilitate the Torah. Yeah, the Eibishter created the world to facilitate the Torah. It's a new pshat in the Stakel Bereisu Bara Alma. It's not just that everybody says, you know, it's a blueprint, it has... No, it's not just that. The world was retrofitted with the Torah. And the Baruch Hashem knew he's going to give us a mitzvah, Klal Yisrael, a mitzvah, that we have to treat our wife with more honor than we treat ourselves. We have to love our wives like we love ourselves. So the Eibishter facilitated that by making tacos one. So we all have an inherent ability to go back to our creation, basically. We could go back to how we were created as one. So the emes is, so that's number one. But there's really more than that. That's number one. But it's even more than that. What do I mean it's more than that? Every time the Eibishter gives us a mitzvah, right, to do, so the Eibishter is giving us also a bracha that we should be able to makayim that mitzvah. So if the Eibishter gives us a mitzvah to know kolat erekula, that means the Eibishter is telling us, I will assist you to know kolat erekula. The Torah, if the Eibishter gives us v'shinantam, so the Eibishter is going to help us to do that. I call it siyata de mitzvah. If the Eibishter gives us a mitzvah, the Eibishter is going to give us the siyata to do that mitzvah. It's in the tev of the world. That's why Rav Shach used to say that siyata de shmaya by ruchnius, he used to call it sival gutzach in the gassen. That means the siyata de shmaya ruchnius, there's endless siyata de shmaya for ruchnius. Because when Hashem gives us a mitzvah, he facilitates it for us. As long as we buy in, the Eibishter facilitates the mitzvah for us. So the laws of nature don't govern. The laws of nature don't govern when it comes to ruchnis. We're not limited. We're not limited by the laws of nature when it comes to ruchnis. I want you to know it's even la'alocha that way. There's a chsam sofer. Unbelievable chsam sofer. The chsam sofer in Gittin says, Ki olecho ragnu kol ayoyim zu mila. The chsam sofer says that the Gemara in Gittin is mashma, that every time you go to a bris, mamish mesiris nefesh. Olecho ragnu kol ayoyim zu mila. So Sfasema says, I mean, the Chassam Sefer says, never see kids dying by a bris. Baruch Hashem, it's not really an occurrence that we deal with. So yes, what's pshat? Says, oh. He says, really, many more kids would die from a bris. Siyata de mitzvah. The mitzvah is megan. Taka, the mitzvah protects us. And I want you to know, I had a maisa with one of my children, that after the bris, they were a bleeder. This is a maisa shoya. They have that. It's a Moyle's nightmare. They call it a Moyle's nightmare. The baby's a bleeder. A bleeder basically means, for whatever reason, the blood didn't clot after the bris. And it just bleeds. The baby bleeds. And baby that old is bleeding. It's nerve-wracking. Let's put it that way. So some Moyle have a suture. They do it themselves. So this child of mine, this was my b'chol, the Moyle couldn't take care of the problem. Not only that, the pediatrician tried. His pediatrician tried. Couldn't get rid of the problem. It ended up, mamish, that day in the bris, we called a big pediatric urologist surgeon from Colombia, and he actually came here to Good Sam, and he did it. Mamish, in a second. Everybody was bothering me. Well, it doesn't. Then he tells me, he says, I want to tell you something, Rabbi. He says, I don't know why it's very rare that I'm called in after a bris. It's very rare that I'm called in after a bris. He says, because my team, whenever there's a surgery for an infant, my team is on call in case there's a bleeder. My team is on call. He says, and we have much more occurrences by regular surgery, some reason by circumcision. I don't know why. We're very rarely called. So I told him there was a chash of a yid in Europe by the name of Rav Moshe Seifer. And then he told me, he wasn't religious. He said, I'm related to the Chassam Seifer. I told him that the Chassam, he was mechavan to the Chassam Seifer. The Chassam Seifer says that there should be much more. The mitzvah is making. That doesn't mean you put yourself in a sakana for a mitzvah. It means for a mitzvah you could be a little bit more liberal than you would be stamazay. And it's a rashash also. What does the Mishnah say in brachas? Right? And then what does the Mishnah say? Even if a snake was around the heel, they wouldn't stop. So the Gemara says, you're talking about a nochosh. But if it's a scorpion, then they would stop. The Gemara says, why? Because a scorpion is shchir chazeka. Frekter Ashash, you're dealing with nefashos. So So snake, we don't care about. If you had a snake around your leg, would you say, Roiv pa'amim, it's not mazik. Would you do that? If you were lying in bed and you had a snake around your heel, would you go, okay, no, it's... Roiv pa'amim ain't a mazik. You wouldn't do that. So what's pshat in the Mishnah and Brachos? So Rashash asked the kasha. And the Rashash says, from here you see that we don't always say, ain't holchem b'nefashas achar harayv. We don't always say that. He doesn't explain what the rule is. But according to Chassam Sofer, the word is when it comes to a mitzvah, you have a right to be a little more liberal than you would be when it's not a mitzvah. Because there's a protection. The mitzvah protects you. And that's even in Inyanei Brias. What did the Baruch Shem do? He made that the keli in the Mishkan that represents the Torah was done al yidei nes. To show you that just like the kli was created nes, when you learn Torah, you're going to be zeichet tenisim. You're going to be zeichet tenisim. You'll be zeichet in your understanding tenisim. You'll be zeichet in your being able to accomplish. You'll be zeichet nisim. And that's why the kli that's meram is on Torah, the kli that's meram is on Torah, is lamalim in Torah. That's pshat in the minar. When we left Mitzrayim, you know the famous joke? I'll tell you from the Beis Halevi. He said it as a joke. He wasn't serious about it. He once went into a shtibel. This is the story. It's a story. I don't know if it's emes, but it's a story. They say the Beis Halevi once went into a shtibel, chassidish shtibel. And he sees they're having a l'chaim with cake, with schnapps. He said, what's going on here? A litvak doesn't know from these things. He said, what's going on here? They said, ah, it's a yard site from whatever. Yard site from some rebbe. So the Beis Halevi says, now I understand. This has always bothered me. The first time when Klai Yisrael thought Moshe Rabbeinu died was an eagle. Vayichlu, vayishtu. Then 40 years later when Moshe Rabbeinu Taka died, says Vayivku Oisei Beis Yisrael. What changed? Sok the Beis Halevi. The first time they thought Moshe Rabbeinu died, that was before they had a Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the Rebbe. What was he? He was a Baal Moifis. He cut the yam, he took down the mon. A Baal Moifis. We didn't learn Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu yet, fully. So then, Vayechlu Vayishtu. After 40 years, we taka we. He was a Rebbe. Then you can't even drink what's it. Then it's Vayivku. That was his word. But the emphasis is that when we left Mitzrayim, we didn't have a Torah yet. So then we needed Vayet Moshe's Yodei Al Hayam. We needed a miracle to split the Yam. Now that we got the Torah, and we had a mitzvah to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Eibishter showed us, the Torah itself will give you the Siyata Dishmaya. The Kohanim went in with the Aron, and the Yarden split. And it stayed split until the Torah went across the Yarden. That was the change. The shift was that now that we got a Kabbal Satera, and now that the Torah gave us the mitzvah to go into Eretz Yisrael, that Torah itself gave us the Siyata Dishmaya. And that's why there wasn't a Mises splitting like there was by the Kriyas Yamzuf. This was a whole different, a different Mahalach. Okay. Where is everybody?